Hello, hello, and welcome to my lovely, inspiring human potential community. To everyone tuning in, before we get started on today's topic, that is in pursuit of those keys to inner growth and following your heart to the life of an entrepreneur and to much more that I talk about, guide about, from the podcast to the blog to other online presences, which are known to those who continuously tune in. Special announcement, Anchor has allowed finally that listener support button, which means the world for everything that I pursue and wanting to share. And for those who are looking to support the inspiring human potential mission, its purpose, and anyone who believes in general in inspiring human potential, because that's one of those amazing things we can do and the online world has brought us to be able and do, connect, support, and together we will achieve that harmony worldwide. So if you wish to contribute because the inner growth process mindset has contributed to your life, or because you believe in inspiring the world through these different means, please do so. Thank you so much for doing so. And as always, you can reach out if you want to collaborate, if you want to share your story, if you have a personal development process mindset, something that can contribute to others in their unlocking of their untapped and limited potential, reach out to me. The blog luna12780.com has my email in the about section. And let's move on to today's topic. We've talked about this before, but it's always a topic that is of great interest due to the different types of people we meet, and also the way we can work with ourselves depending on where we're at with that inner growth, with that awareness of both the mental and emotional layer in synergy, as well as those disconnects. They're not disconnects because you don't connect, it's because there is perhaps a thought and then a different feeling, and that's the attention you can have with your body, with your inner world, as you are consciously in that cosmic consciousness, secondary consciousness place. So being aware that you are thinking of the thoughts you're thinking with those human elements, so you know that's part of your identity or your culture or your heritage. You know, you are organizing immediately, okay, this is, yeah, my thought, but then you pay also attention to how you're feeling, which can be broken down to that nervous system's response. So are you defensive? So are you stressed or tight or relaxed? You know, that can immediately be something you are aware of, because if you're relaxed, you'll feel relaxed. If you're tense, you'll feel tense. That automatically can mean something for the person who is willing and wanting to be at ease when interacting with other individuals. So these are all choices in a fraction of a second that you are immediately able to work with, because the mind is yours, the feelings are yours, the body is yours, and all it requires is your attention and then the effort. When we have talked about that one documentary that talks of the neural pathways and breaking habits, this is the first time I had heard of neural pathways, and that's where I began, for example, applying what they taught, because all that is required is your being aware that you've done something you're choosing you want to not do anymore. So for me, it was arguing with a type of feeling with my mother, but because the feeling was, it was like, why get frustrated? And also, let's dial down the tone. It's just fair to try and dial down the tone so that we may have an actual conversation versus us, you know, getting into a heated debate, which was unnecessary. And the beginning of that attempting to work with the tone, that still is that challenge because I can't hear myself. But I was immediately able to stop the reaction, so to speak, from the body, which is really a feeling, because immediately my consciousness, that place where you're conscious of being conscious, the secondary consciousness, you know, okay, wait, I'm doing that thing that I had chosen not to do. The only reason people won't take this approach is when they are looking outside, they're either pointing a finger and in that blame, that condemning, so they're justifying that action, or they may define, this is though my habit, it's my nature. And even though they have chosen, they want to take a different route, they will not think of their immediate lack of success as something positive or negative. They immediately judge it as, okay, see, I can't do it, versus taking the time to understand that you can't break a habit. The neural pathways, we have habits of how we react to things. You want to stop that reaction, you're the one who gets to put that effort into it. And we have learned that, for example, through video games, people quickly can create new neural pathways because the brain is malleable. It means it adapts and it creates new habits if we want to do that. So there are many other people that talk about being able to work with oneself to create new habits. In fact, 21 days is what is required. At least somebody was giving me this number to, if you want to learn something, or let's say you want to quit something, 21 days is this number that some say is what will get you to then have the habit and repeat it over and over again. So maybe 21 days, I'll have to look into that one, is how many days it takes to develop a new neural pathway and stop using the other one, and therefore you then create a new habit. When it comes to allowing yourself to be you, this is where it's not only about your thoughts, it's also about the emotions, and it is in that interaction with other people. So you're already going to be dealing with another human being who has potentially a different type of emotional reaction that they may or may not be aware of, as well as the type of thought processes and the way they're open or not open to dialogue. This is why we get to talk about these. Being oneself is not as straightforward, because human beings are social beings. I mean, that's something that one can say, but no, you can also be alone. Yeah, exactly, you can also be alone. But when you interact, the nervous system's response, again, is that societal engagement. So you will have a reaction that is both a thought and an emotion when you're interacting with someone. If you are aware of that, that's where you are going to be able to work with yourself and then allow yourself to be you to the best of your ability, while also respecting, because this is where, if you're in the labeling right wrong and you stick solely to that aspect of duality and you condemn, you're not going to move beyond. It's about in neutrality, in that thought cosmic consciousness place, you're like, okay, this is what's going on. I, my ego, my person, myself, other, and I'm having an interaction and I'm feeling a certain way and I'm thinking a certain way. But you immediately add this respect, this allowance, meaning if you're gonna allow you to be you, you wanna know that's the same thing on the other side, they're not a replica. And those seats of emotions, which involves that ego self, that identity, those unconscious, subconscious insecurities and pain points as well, from when one was growing up. We've talked about this a lot lately, a lot of different topics actually, but the habit of being a child versus being your own adult, even when looking to the fact that you lead with ego. It's always been something that people, unless you recognize that aspect of being and acting like your own parent, you will keep communicating to aspects that you're looking to work with in that same way. I say take ownership, meaning you're that adult now, you're independent, you can say and feel, you know what, this is fine, this is, yeah, my way of being, this right here is actually why I was saying we are societal beings. People will want to satisfy and help each other out. It's another statistic from a study that was mentioned in various psychology books, different psychologists, that time and time again, while in the past, I forget what years, they would say that humans are prone to being competitive, the opposite is found. They are prone to being collaborative, to being supportive and helping each other. And this, when I think of the fact that, again, that nervous system's first response is societal engagement, you seek help outside of you, it makes complete sense. And even when we think of sociology and how, as a society, there's groups, there's societal stigma, these are little places, little meaning other macro / micro egos, and it's groups of people that share the same emotional hurt, they share the same belief, they share a similar experience, and therefore they're allowing through their being together a sense of security, which is where you can move beyond, because the group is what's giving you the feeling that it's okay to be you. What you want to is also claim that, because it feels very different once you claim it and you start working with it in that feeling from your heart. This is where even in a diverse group setting, you're not going to be agitated, upset. You will be able to allow yourself to speak the way you're feeling and thinking about something while also being attentive to what is being communicated to you. Because there's the neutrality, so you accepting, there's my ego always involved. I need to remember there's also the opposite, and to be humble. That's why neutrality helps. It helps you not to stay in a certain way where you're going to want to discuss in a right or wrong. You are open to simply hearing what the opposite has to say. It allows you not to feel threatened when you're ready to communicate, but it also allows you to hear the person out and perhaps share a message in a way that remains, how can I say, doesn't hit any pain points, so to speak. It's not for everybody necessarily, and this is where it isn't a perfect science. But then again, humans aren't a perfect science, meaning you can go and grab, you know, 10, 20, 30, 100 people, and they will have similar traits, but they'll also have their little unique attributes. And the beauty is everybody's always going to go and seek out, you know, why do I have this attribute? Why do I have that? And well, not everybody, but you'll be curious about it. If you're somebody who is curious about traits that develop in time, like what would lead you to have a specific way of reacting to something versus another, and the same thing with the thought process or searching information and then finding different pieces, the way you put those pieces together and embracing that exchange with others. The feelings, if you can take always the love and bring that to you as well as the external, you help yourself in this place as well, because when the egos are exchanging information beyond the being able to open the mind in a way that you say, I want to have exchanges that are as pleasing to everyone involved as possible, you understand the challenges, because it's where not everybody is in this place of awareness with their ego, their self. They are literally just speaking from that place, and they are perhaps in that I'm right, you're wrong kind of thing, and then they will approach, continue that conversation with this method. And you will sense it. That's that part, the ego, the emotions. A person senses this, which is why then another, that other person will react with that defense stance. This is where it is only when you are aware in that moment. And so once you can say, okay, human dynamics, what is it? We're societal. We will want to engage in intellectual conversation, we will each have a place that we feel and think is right for various reasons. These are those human elements, whether it be, again, family, culture, to be aware, this is my thought because of this, this, and this. And then the humbleness and the understanding that that other person has the same thing. So just because there's an average of what is the norm, that doesn't make one thing the sole thing. Otherwise, you wouldn't have the exchange. It's really about accepting differences versus accepting what gets defined to us as that average, which is hilarious when you think about it, for the same external is telling people be yourself, but then they are giving you averages when you go to school, best and worst, you know, trophies, anything, you name it. It's not even about the competition thing. It's about like the average that they're normalizing, and then anything different from that is different, and they're putting a label, and then they're speaking about it in that way. Now, this is where, again, that ego wants to feel special automatically. It with itself, not because it wants to be special, but it's present and it wants to be. So as psychologists put it, the first no's are traumatic because you don't know why. You're being told no, and the ego, the self, that identity exists already. You don't have words to express it. You're going to be taught that. And then when you begin to look to your peers and want to be your own individual a little bit more with your peer group, you're going to begin defining yourself according to perhaps what you've been told you are, and then what other people are telling you you are. It is only if you begin saying, what do I feel that I am? What do I think that I am? And then recognize I am being influenced by the external, but not because they have power over you, because you are exchanging communication, feelings. There's more than just, again, the thoughts. Thoughts are one thing. You're feeling things as well when we get upset and or passionate, defensive, even calm. You have feelings in a conversation. When we get excited, when we feel ecstatic about sharing some great news, you're exchanging that moment, not only the thought. This in the love space is always amazing, but even here sometimes there are people that will react, they have a different way of reacting with excitement. And I've had this, for example, with my younger sister, when I would bring her gifts back from, because I left for college a lot, and when I'd go home to Italy, Naples, Italy, where my family is, and I'd get her, gotten her some gifts, she wouldn't seem excited. Her way of expressing excitement is different, or actually that's the part. She doesn't necessarily do festivities like, oh, you know, very, very much excited in the voice and the reaction. But that doesn't mean she's not thankful or excited. That's just the way that she expresses. And this is where I had said a couple times, you know, you never give me that satisfaction, meaning you don't seem happy. Do you like what I'm giving you, you know, or is there something wrong? And no, I like it. It's just I don't express the emotion that way, you know. So learning to stop thinking of that as something that isn't right or wrong or normal. That's the part we're recognizing. One's own ego is important. I get very excited and I'm very, you're at my eyes, I will hug people, I will smile, like you can tell when I'm like super excited about something. And that's why for me it was like, wait, are you not excited? Being able to know that your definition isn't the sole one is where it begins. And some people, they just keep saying, you know, but this just doesn't feel right. It isn't right to me. Instead of acknowledging, yeah, to me, the expression of excitement is in this way, but others have a different way. And this is where the external, when they're defining these differences with labels, they're not helping to create a unison. That average is what is labeled the norm, and then people will say that anything that isn't within that is odd, because different isn't, and it isn't bad or good, but again, it's more like we're human, there are these unique aspects. Why talk about them in that way of creating what eventually leads to people being labeled odd, not just different? And it may not be in the thought, but if the feeling isn't recognized, like, wait. So for me with my sister, initially I didn't say anything, eventually I did, and then once she gave me this answer, I worked with the feeling and always repeating that acknowledgement slowly and reminding myself simply, it doesn't mean she doesn't like it or she does. This is my personal approach to what I would want to see, because that's how I react when I get excited and happy about something. That aspect is something not everybody will do, and therefore when they're interacting, they're not aware that that doesn't allow you to potentially be you or the other person to feel that they can be them. And the wanting of others to allow that to the same level is, for example, an expectation that will create a challenge, because this is where, once again, not everybody is looking to be completely themselves in this way, because there are plenty of groups that will help them feel that they are where they're meant to be, that they're that identity, that sense of security from the societal engagement. They're fine and happy, and they don't need to search for more. Even though they may have emotional moments where they are reacting with that anger, frustration, whatever it may be, and having moments of arguments, for them that's the norm, because there are differences and because some will be compatible, some won't. And it isn't the external, remember, that changes when people pursue that inner allowance. It's the inside. You are the one who is being in a place of awareness of the mind, the feelings, and then of what you're engaging in. And as you're engaging, this is why your filters, your opinions, your everything are visible. It allows you to be completely immersed with what's going on the other side, because you're not threatened and you're not in an ego defense. You're not ready to battle. You're actually saying, I know exactly where I stand and I'm ready to listen because I want to have an exchange. It creates a whole different feeling and experience to the intellectual mind, because you're allowing yourself to pay attention, and then your own mind, which already has thoughts, is able to allow the same opinion to be expressed in a format that perhaps will be more inclusive, and the same thing will happen slowly to the other person, because you're helping them to be at ease in who they are. Since your ego is not threatened, your opinions are not threatened, in that you own those, that's allowing you to be you, because you're saying there's no need for me to get tight, uptight, or not relaxed. You're paying attention to the body as well. Of course, this isn't always going to be the case, because sometimes there are people who will start getting aggressive, not necessarily exaggeratedly, but you will tell that they will start getting upset. And I've shared with you guys that story of that one conversation and a couple of other things. And for me, the conversation where the person it was very clear they could not wrap their head around my opinions, so to speak, I didn't really do much except for keep sharing answers to her questions. For the person, when we got the family member that I got into that, it wasn't even an argument. It's just I didn't become aware soon enough that I wasn't being asked a question to answer. I was being told what their opinion was, and they didn't even realize it, though. This is that part where, as you gain ownership and calm, and you're allowing you to be you, so you're genuinely participating in a conversation without the need to put up any kind of front, but you also acknowledge, again, I'm listening for cues of how can I best direct myself. Obviously, if you know the person, you know the personality, so this is where that helps to know immediately if they're starting to get upset, and that's where you can address. I'm not looking to upset you, and that is one of those ways that you can keep allowing you to be you while giving something to the other person to think about quickly and therefore not escalate to something else. Like in the scenario with my family member, I wasn't able to immediately understand because I was already answering, but this is one of those things. It probably can't ever necessarily be changed. There's only so many ways you can be aware of yourself in a very fraction of a second. So if I began answering, it's my mind's going to start formulating the answer. It's focusing on that aspect, that energy, that focus is there. There's no room necessarily for me to pick up anymore that I'm actually not being asked a question, even though as the conversation continued, so like a minute or 2 minutes, that's where I began to realize, well, no, actually I didn't. It was when I yelled over her and she yelled back at me, and we were really both talking at a loud voice anyways, but this is where I did at a certain point have to start going even higher in tone. I can't explain it because this is where it was a fraction of a second feeling. And then when she got upset, where you could tell she was offended, that's when I realized, and I was like, oh, wait a minute, this wasn't a question. This was her just wanting to express her opinion of something that she doesn't do professionally and that I do, which is why I was relating to it by giving that information. At times, you will be in those positions. We all will. And this is where it's not about getting on your case. This is where you have room to be able and from that cosmic consciousness be like, okay, this is how I was feeling, this is what I was thinking, this is what I can maybe test out next time. Some people with those instances will instead feel that they can't move beyond. This is where they say, oh, see, I can't change that habit, I can't change that pattern. That's where you will draw the line, and that isn't necessarily going to allow you to be the full expression of you, because you're saying, okay, I failed, quote unquote, in this instance, I will not be able to do that, obviously. How are you ever going to try to find new ways to achieve something new if you don't believe you can? So being yourself, it isn't about walking over people, and it isn't about the opposite either. It's actually about you knowing if you're going to allow you to be you, you're going to allow other people to be them. And that involves a couple of aspects. And particularly as you can be solely focused on establishing self-empowerment from your ego with your flow, with calm, that's what's going to change everything of those interactions, because you're not trying to allow you to be you, you're actually doing it. And so the body, the mind, the heart, it's all right there together. And you, in fact, have been looking and finding the harmony from your heart and mind communication. Because every time you get into that upset state with an interaction, you know that, okay, what's the ego, what's the self wanting that reassurance on? What thought is being challenged? What part of my identity has been put into question right now? You're not looking to engage with the external on that, because they have nothing to do with your ownership of that moment. You have everything to do with it. So you're going there to say, okay, why am I being in this state? What's the deal? What do I choose? And then you repeat that. So once you've got that down path, you will be primarily able to focus on the emotional layer and those nervous system, so to speak, reactions, meaning am I tense, am I calm, and working with love and neutrality, and that's where the thought and the feeling are going to be working together, as long as you're not judging, condemning, or focusing on the external. People sometimes will get lost and sad, the person's being rude, the person's being aggressive, and they will share that with somebody else, or maybe even with the person, or maybe justify that then they can keep going. This person that is a family member, they are always loud and yelling and very aggressive and arrogant. They don't mean to be that way. They genuinely have a love for knowledge, and they're just that type of person that will start listing all the facts that they've learned from their books and why their theory is right, and that's just their way of conversing. Not to mention, again, the average, that average thing that I was saying with society, it doesn't tell people to be unique. It tells people the average, and that's the norm, and everything else is odd then. Even if they don't say it in that way, just claiming a norm, and then anything that is quote-unquote abnormal. This is where, for example, those words should be considered and expanded on when it comes to us talking of us as a species. Why would you tell people be yourself and then have that norm, and then continue our lovely experts to talk about that norm and then the abnormal without giving us the in-depth version, for example, and instead of saying abnormal, another type of way? Because the thing is, creating little groups of people that feel they're different from each other is what then doesn't help people to come together in the most meaningful way on all aspects. It just creates this idea and that feeling and that ego battle, because one will feel that they deserve more attention or more this or more that, or the other will feel lesser, or some will be eventually be given less of an allowance, which is not very fair and not necessary, and a contradiction from what the world, at least in the Western world, when they are talking about the freedom of being able to be your own person. Well, how is that freedom if I am being labeled something, and then it's not made to feel, but this is that part. That person has a lot of challenges in being themselves and then allowing it, because they're being looked at as, what's the deal, man? There is an average, and therefore there is a norm, and anyone that doesn't fit that norm is going to have somebody say, wow, you're... I've had people tell me that I'm odd. I don't mind it. I don't find that I'm odd. I find that I explore different topics, that's all. But those same people, and this was with one of those conversations with a group of friends, this is where I know why they think I'm odd. I'm expressing concepts that are not the average, what they're seeing in the media and what they talk of with their own groups. All that is required for an individual is to remember everyone's their own person. Everyone has something that is going to be different. It doesn't have to be odd. It doesn't have to be anything but an expression of what the person's sharing with you. Obviously, this is a choice. So allowing yourself to be you is a choice that you make, as you make it in depth. And therefore, with the respect, allowing others to be themselves, that's where you get to actually feel very different when you are leading a conversation, and perhaps things get loud or they get frustrating or whatever it is in that realm of not calm and flowing. With this person, for example, accepting that that is how they express themselves versus staying in a place of judgment is what can help every person. So for example, I don't get upset when she's sharing information the way she does. Fact that one incident when we got into this argument, I felt bad because I didn't mean to hurt her feelings, and it wasn't about pointing out what she does, because this is where, psychologically speaking, people are where they are consciously at their best and secure. Like, the way we add our data points, the way we define ourselves, is the way that we will think of ourselves. A person pointing out to you you're wrong doesn't mean that person's going to think that. And in fact, you've just basically stuck a finger in their ego, and depending on how sensitive they are, that's where you get the reaction. And in this case, with this particular person, there's, even if you say it, they will argue to the death with you. And there's really energy, emotion, and no need. It's a family member. It's really, to me, when somebody can be who they are, they're not in this place of needing to point out the vices or virtues or whatever necessarily, unless it's brought up by the other people. They don't need that because they're exchanging with their own person. It doesn't make a difference what the other person comes at you with, because you've chosen what you're going to go at. You're going to be that person. This is also the part of identity that doesn't get claimed time and time and time again. So when somebody, for example, says, I failed at changing this particular trait that I wanted to change or work with and transform, and they immediately give in to saying, I'm always going to be this way, that person is not essentially giving room for the body to learn a different emotion as they're interacting it, but they're also staying in the mind. That's why the mind and heart, they need to work together with that body. And it's your awareness that will bring that, and your persistence in knowing you can. And this sometimes is what definitely people won't see. Those who are in a place of not looking for it, so the family member, the other person, they are happy with where they're at. They have their norm, their group, and they will continue. Expressing themselves in that format, not to mention that there are many people who will back off. They won't ensue in communicating with them anymore, and they'll just, you know, not debate, because that's where nobody really likes confrontation that way. It's only another ego that's high on having that type of conversation that will ensue in a vocal battle. And this is where those people most likely don't come back together, unless it's a moderate version of discussion, so to speak. But allowing yourself to be you, as you get to know other people, also allows you to choose how to handle those emotions. And the person who is arrogant, I would say many definitely would not find that they'll enjoy, obviously, conversing, because it's a one-sided conversation. Basically, you're allowing the person to speak, and you may say or not say certain things. The nice thing, though, is that as you get comfortable and don't feel those interactions as threats, you do have a way of being able to share something if you want. And the same thing is, if you're not interested, you're allowing somebody that you care for, perhaps, or somebody that you have to work with, perhaps, to do what they do, and you're not affected in a good or bad way. That feeling is something that then is also perceived by the other individual. And for as much as the person may never really grow and understand that they are in a place where they could express things differently, it's still nice, because every person doesn't mean to necessarily, some people, they think they are better. Therefore, they actually do mean to be arrogant and to be jerks because they feel that that is their right. And this is that place, though, in their conscious mind, they are right. So what they don't see is the level of insecurity they have, which, if you point it out, they wouldn't believe you anyways. But that's the part of them not really wanting to do that journey anyways. It doesn't make sense to them, and the part of arguing is a normal situation, and the part that they're right is a normal situation. They will only acknowledge their group, and therefore they are really not even necessarily allowing themselves to be themselves. They're allowing that chosen place to be what will always be, and therefore that dynamic will always be repetitive. For them, it's kind of a loss, because they definitely won't encounter expansion of thought form, expansion of emotion. But for the person who instead is within the awareness of their inner world, you have the opportunity to work with those reactions. For example, when the person is getting snippety, or for the person who's an empath and is looking to, we're all empaths, but some people are a little bit more in tune with these intuitions, feelings that gut, we all can sense. As you gain, again, that clarity with you from within, and you're always you, this is where the other becomes clearer. It's very fascinating because you're feeling, besides acknowledging what they're speaking, and then as you're able to pick these subtleties up, and again, because you're not in a place of needing to prove anything, you're in a place of sharing a moment, and you're actually practicing perhaps being in a particular flowing feeling when you're interacting with them. And so you're sensing their insecurities, but you're not reacting to it. It's like having a visual of something that you can't see. That gets really amazing because you grow to be in a place of love, and you also grow to be creative, if you will, in how you're going to continue that conversation. Because we can always relate to each other. It just requires one of the two people to be open to relating in the language, even though we all speak whenever it is in that same language. So in this case, English, even though maybe some people have other languages that are their mother tongue. But when you speak the language, meaning you get how they're thinking and how they're formulating, you've been able to kind of grasp that, you will get through to them in what you want to say. And that feels very good because you're able to do something that before wasn't necessarily there. And this is where it's enriching for you as you learn to be more of you, and as you allow the person to keep on expressing themselves. The family member and I have very great conversations. For example, that's the one only time that we got into this place, and really it's because I wasn't able to catch what was taking place effectively enough to refrain from what I was doing. It was, and to this day, I don't know if that will ever take place again, because I wasn't able to pick out if there was any moment in that time that I would have been able to understand what was going on. The only thing that I know I learned, I said, okay, you need to learn to pause a little bit longer before you get your brain answering the question. That way, maybe you can understand if that person is actually asking something, or if they're making a comment as they're really asking you, but not asking you, they're pointing out stuff. So I think the pauses is one of those ways that can help every individual, because when you pause your mind from thinking and responding, so you don't take action, you just take a second to get a feel, a good feel though, for what's going on, you allow a new trait to come forth. This is that part of being able to, at this point, because you know your opinion, you're focusing on your body, that emotion, that nervous system, and staying in a place of flow and openness. So even being able to take a complete step back from formulating anything and really taking in the interaction that is taking place, it allows you to settle in that information and then provide the response or the interaction, the engagement you're looking to communicate. But allowing yourself to be you when it comes to life, for example, is very different, because life has the unknown elements, the unexpected. This is where all of that will depend on how you choose to label life, if there's beliefs that you're exploring as well. And this too, are you going to that heart? Are you ensuring you're giving that sense of comfort to that ego when it gets scared, or if it's impatient because something that you want to achieve is not coming your way? Like, how do you allow the conversation in that moment to take place? Do you remain open? And that is the very place of the higher infinite human potential for any human being, because the unknown, essentially, especially with what you would want to see, is going to feel not restrictive per se, but because you can't claim it for sure, there's a moment of both, it can be doubt, hope, fear, joy, you know, you got it all going on, and you get to choose right at the end, what am I going to do? What am I going to feel at this conclusion of what I'm thinking and what I'm wanting? And here you can leave the open-ended. You can say, I don't know the outcome. I don't like that I don't know, but I will stay in this place of trusting that being me, choosing to do me, allowing these aspects to come forth from me will lead me always to where I want to be. When it comes to taking things with neutrality, when those who are in that place of complete ego, so they're not recognizing how they affect the situation, okay? There's two different ways that this can go. For those who stay in that duality, and therefore always needing to have only a right or wrong, only a good or bad, you know, like that's just not letting go, meaning accepting that there's always opposites. And so it's not about right or wrong, it's just you go beyond because you know that those will always exist. You know what your preferences are, and you know the system in place that can take care of it, and where you want to be proactive in bringing forth change, let's say in the world, to help situations. But the heart of you is not condemning that. It understands that it exists, and it understands that it's not that preferred way, but you're again respecting, if you will, the existence of something that is in a place of shouldn't be there for you. But very different when you're humble about it, when you're open about it. So when you're not cocky about it, when you're not in ego about it, again. And this is where you're always choosing how to explore from the mind, how to feel from the body, from the heart. So if you're in neutrality and unconditional love, you're going to be in a place of allowance versus a place of the defensiveness, which is wait, that's like standoffish, and you're closed essentially to that piece of information, not allowing it to be while it's existing. And that creates a bit of a battle because it exists, you're saying no, it shouldn't, and that is that difference. While if you say, you know, I definitely think this should be something that changes, but it does exist in the meantime, so how is the best way to allow, and why, even the why does it exist, why did this happen, what's taking place? Every time something happens, there is a why. When it comes to human behavior, all you need to do is read and get informed on psychology, sociology, and then even the philosophers with life. There is also conscious living space. At this point, you can find a gazillion pieces of information that will explain to you why something took place, not to mention the person's upbringing. So there's always the reason. That level of consciousness gets excluded from somebody's peripheral view when they're labeling in that duality, because they're saying this should not be, versus acknowledging it, this is, and this person has a level of awareness of themselves, of the situation, and even here, not in a way that says I'm better than they are, in a way that is objectively saying this is what I'm seeing. That's the difference when you can allow you to be you, because you know your filters, you know what you've been taught growing up, you know where you stand, your filters are very clear. And so this is where intuition will grow, because you're able to know what's yours, you're putting it to the side, and you're not applying it to the other. When we apply our filters to the other, essentially it's a smudged perception, because you're judging it. So one, not only are you giving off that vibe, and the person will know, which means they're going to intuitively, which we already are, in that defense state for the ego. So they're, if they're not aware of their own ego, and they're not in this place of neutrality and love, they're already perceiving your judgment, which is where people will have a challenge potentially communicating with each other. Even though it won't come across as a challenge, they'll simply be snippety with each other. And that's where that's been labeled and normalized, meaning this is what it is because there's this happening, versus two egos battling two people in kind of defense judgmental mode, hey guys, guess what? You can go a step beyond and allow each of you to be yourself versus this version, which is, yes, you're still yourself, but you're not expressing the complete aspect of yourself, because neither one is comfortable, neither one is at ease. Both are in a tense state, and both are ready to potentially battle, which doesn't create a shared experience. It creates a shared battle, and hey, there's people that will be good with that, but most of the time people enjoy each other's company when they can be themselves, which means when they can be at ease. That's where you get the best and most beautiful conversations and solutions. When people are brainstorming, the people that have a team leader who is very aware of everybody's feelings, who's very aware of everybody's thoughts, who's able to mediate and allow every person to feel that they deserve to speak. Therefore, that person who puts everyone at ease, that's the perfect leader, versus the ego-driven leader, which is probably like a micromanager and somebody who is very picky, or even the in-between, because this is where that average is the in-between, which we all will navigate towards that which resonates with what we think is right or wrong. As long as you're in that place, this is where you too are allowing yourself only to be whatever it is you deem right or wrong. You're not going beyond in feeling and exploration of the thoughts. You're not moving in an expansion place from that mind, which is going to create a very different feeling of those experiences. A person who's allowing themselves to be themselves from the heart, who pursues that inner growth from the mind, and then mind and heart bringing that harmony. When you're able to slowly be in this place of flow, you are leading from within, you're going with the flow, and you're dealing with those unknowns, those unexpected, those unwanted with your heart, with love and neutrality, which is going to allow you to tend to your ego, the insecurity, and find your own sense of comfort. And the societal engagement is an added. It's something you know that's taking place, but you don't need the approval. You're not giving the approval. You are you, and they are them. And whether it be one person or a group of people, the person who is in this place is the person who's at the seat, the driver's seat, with all attention on where it should be, your brain, your heart, your body, which is always in your control, quote unquote. This is where you lose that word. You don't even need, because this is not control, in that you've recognized every time you have an emotional response that is not flowing, that is the ego, the self that is threatened, and you've reassured that you can be you with that respect for the external. Because this is where, again, you're saying, I am me, and I'm meeting someone who has a different personality, who has a different thought. I don't need to argue with them like this. I can speak it. If I'm arguing, I'm the one who needs to take a look, because I'm being insecure right now, for I'm arguing with them about it, versus having an expanded conversation. This is that part of why you allowing the neutrality to take the lead in duality, and use words because you have to express it, but within your own person, you acknowledge things in this space. You're adding opposites, you're adding the right and wrong, good and bad, you're allowing them to all be, not because you want to say, yeah, it's great. No, you're allowing yourself to be with the filters to the side, and acknowledge what's in front of you, the way, exact way it's being presented. When it comes to people, because of that ego, because of that hurt, this is why it's never going to be perfect, because anyone who needs is going to come and always try and take. It's not about good or bad. This is where they're looking for a thumbs up. They're looking to be right. They are right. Their conscious mind has that. That's it. Their way of reacting is because that's how you claim who you are. You're aggressive about it. You know, this is a mindset. Some people, they do. They're never going to do anything but the conflict because they feel that's the way you get things done. And this is where they are allowing themselves to be that type of person, which as long as they don't find it to be an issue, they won't. But I know they can be more of themselves if they were to allow themselves to stop when they're arguing and to actually be in a place of calm and then continue that conversation. Also, usually when people get into these types of situations where there's a lot of arguing, they're not ecstatic to be hanging out with each other or to have to work together. So you allowing yourself to be you with this neutrality, with this awareness, and the part of other people not necessarily achieving the same, it's always going to help you to be able to achieve instead something more. And sometimes it is thanks to a person being in this allowance that you then show through your actions, through the way you speak others something different, as they allow themselves to recognize that ease because they'll feel it. They may perhaps slowly adapt something automatically and then allow themselves to have same conversations. So you never know what can take place, because people don't always recognize the battle of the egos, but when they're able to start recognizing it and being genuinely themselves, and then when things go quote unquote wrong, for the person to not take offense is something amazing, because you can keep interacting with that individual. And even though you won't ever be like, oh, that's the right way to do it. So the person that is a family member who's aggressive, it's not the right way quote unquote to do it, but this is where they don't realize it, that they don't, from the soul of them, the essence of them, they literally, you can tell that that layer is just not there. They're stuck in that duality. They really, to the person who gets into that advanced place in the inner growth journey, you are not, you're indifferent. It's not right or wrong. This is where it's like, this is the person, this is what they're doing, this is what they've been taught. And then when you look at the outside world and the way they present, again, that average, that norm, they present conversations with that label. This is right based on the norm, and then that is wrong, or this is normal, and then that's abnormal. So to get upset about it and say we need to delete it, this is where it becomes unreasonable, because opposites exist. I mean, if there were no opposites, we would not know what one side or another is. It's the individual who's meant to be able and go beyond, since they have the faculty to think. If they can recognize their own ego, their own inner world, and then wait, I'm stopping myself from including two sides that obviously exist. That's the part the person needs to be in, that state of awareness. I would have expected the experts, the leaders, you know, that's why I really have it. It's a bigger issue for me when I see the leaders that are speaking in that way than the average person, because the average person is looking up to others to educate, to inform. And this is why there's a perpetuation of non-allowance, for nobody's really saying, wait a minute, they're telling me to be me, but then there's this norm. When people do see that, they blame the system. So when I realized the neutrality part, I was very heartbroken by the system that had guided me to be loving and everything that is in my heart to share with humanity. But I realized eventually there's no other way for a system to work. Essentially, there's always going to be a person, an individual, an inner world. So that ego, that self, then there's going to be the external, then amplify that and make it into, you know, cities and countries and governments. It's by the individual becoming whole with themselves. And that's where, with the conscious living space, mindfulness, meditation, I see that's what's taking place. This is the beginning, the part that I still see missing, where hopefully, you know, with the Inspiring Human Potential content everything that I share, and I'm sure there are other people too, one can make it something normal, like the whole ego and the being human, be proud to be human. You feel all these emotions. The ego, it's not to be scolded or not. Take awareness of it. How do you expect you to see things from another person's point of view? Your brain, your heart, they're yours. And so explaining even that, the physiological aspect, your emotional brain hemisphere is the first to develop from your 0 to 2 years of age. Your nervous system response looks for societal engagement, so it means you look outside of you for help. Explaining in the most simplified way possible, and then somebody can go ahead and do their own research and do their own reading. And this is where I know the person who's looking to be themselves is gonna resonate and take the information and create self-empowerment. The person who still has doubts and is insecure, and therefore their ego needs to feel special, it needs to have a right or wrong, it can't fathom infinite, it can't fathom this space of not having a thumbs up, thumbs down for approval. They will go instead and adapt and seek somebody out that will instead hold their hand and tell them how awesome they are and create a category. And this is that part where it doesn't matter what we go in and share with them, they are in the space. That's their truth. That's their sense of security. That's their right or wrong. They need that. If it's visible, then okay. And so that's where they're looking to the system, to society. And society tells them what's normal and what isn't normal. Those people will always look at things at that angle, that duality. So they will allow themselves to be a representative, not of the complete inner world, but of what they're seeing outside of them. Because they're always looking outside of them to give them the allowance to be. This is exactly why a person in this place will not feel the infinite of them. Their heart will always be holding on to areas where there's fear or hurt or something that is really an insecurity of that ego, that self that is ready to come forth in a sense of comfort. But it's about you being like, wait, there's nothing wrong with this. This is a trait that is part of me. It's okay. I can express it in a different way, but essentially it's fine. You know, people are different. So it's like with my sister, the example I gave you, had I been somebody who would be stuck in my ways, I'd always be pointing out to her how ungrateful, for example, she is, because I would stay stuck in my own ego and self and be like, the way she's expressing excitement is not excitement. She's not happy. She's not telling me about it. This is it. And that's how people will stay in their own ego. They will justify. They will think they are right. And they're applying their filter on another human being who's explained genuinely to them, no, it's not, I'm not excited. This is how I express it. Not to mention that if a person is able to be in neutrality and recognize their own ego, so again, you want to be you, other people are going to be them, that doesn't mean they're going to be an exact replica of you. So, and this is where then I go to the external. Society doesn't say, hey, guess what? People have different ways of expressing excitement. No, what do they do? So the average of expressing excitement is this way. These people are this way, and then they'll give you the explanation, but this is where the individual who is ego-based and not aware of self-empowerment necessarily, and so looking outside to cater to the thumbs up, thumbs down, they're going to be like, well, that's not normal, that's that, and then people start using these words and this way of describing each other, which isn't allowing somebody to be themselves, putting a label. That's where neutrality will get you to go beyond that label. But wanting to see things in only twos or threes, and then not recognizing that if you're seeing only twos or threes, you're creating a limit essentially on what you're going to see. If you allow, hey, there's this space, it's unknown, unexpected. It's, you know, something that's different that I may not initially be aware of because nobody's teaching it to me necessarily that way. But I bet you can find that, by the way, because there is somebody who did choose to be that unique, and they've done maybe a book, or they're expressing something. Those are the people that are sharing information that is helpful. And then the individual who's recognizing, wait, it's more than just that norm, that average, that abnormal, normal that society's telling me, but not in a way of condemning and saying, ah, they need to get rid of all labels. Oh, they need to get rid of all of this. This is where we enter the opposite spectrum of oneness is with the separateness. It's all together, and you'll only be able to see that. It's not separateness per se as much as it is every person is their own unique spark. The way that you organize yourself is first of all emotionally, and you will spend your entire lifetime exploring it and feeling it and being able to bring that to your heart when you are focused on allowing this, allowing you to be you is a feeling. It goes with the mind. You begin with the mind, but really you expand with the feeling as you're saying, wait a minute, I'm a little bit stiff here. Why am I stiff? And then you explore, okay, wait, I'm thinking about this thing in this way. And okay, I'm organizing it in these aspects because this is how it's been organized for me. But maybe I can take a look and use a different word. And today we have plenty of people that are actually talking about the influence of words. They're talking about, again, mindfulness, meditation. They're expressing the inner world, how breath can help you. Talking about the body and how it keeps, you know, count, for example, with the body and trauma book with the psychiatrist who is supporting people with his way, which is including mindfulness and meditation, so that people can create a relationship with the body and reorganize things that have been organized for trauma response. So the inner world of you is yours, and when you are not in a place of flow, that is that nervous system, that body that's in defense mode. It is because you have a conscious mind as a human being. Allowing you to be you is a journey that starts, not only do you already think you know you, which you do, but the inner world of you is what you're going to find out about when you start looking within in those moments where you react, where you're not in flow. And that's where you have the different layers, both the mental and emotional, but also with those human elements, the essence of you elements and the unknown of life elements, to go and explore if you want, which is also where we have that ego and that self and that insecurity and this place where you recognize I'm only beginning to explore those filters. I'm only beginning to see my mind thinks of these things in this way, and I express concepts in this way because the external world has communicated to me this way. The neutrality gets you to do that, because as long as you're in duality, you're using the external as you always have, because that's what we look for when we are born. And then as we grow up, we look outside. Until you're looking outside and not going solo from inside, you're not going solo. And the part that is why some people stay in that intermediate level is they don't recognize they're judging themselves as right or wrong based on the external. And while there's a quality that isn't right or wrong, that is a quality that's perhaps part of their personality, is what would allow them to thrive, they are holding it back because others have been receiving, the reception is negative and the feedback is negative. And this is where they're looking to societal engagement, that thumbs up, thumbs down, without recognizing it, because they themselves have labeled that attribute in the very exact way the external has labeled it. It's not something you can't pick up on. It's something that is indicative of how you can achieve the unconditional love for self and the external. This is why, as long as people stay and know there's the judgments we hold on the external and the right wrong are the same we will hold ourselves. And while people say, but people need to be accountable, this is where I say, we have police, we have government, we have laws. We can know that things will be taken care of if somebody goes and does something they shouldn't. So physiologically speaking, there is everything in place for the protection. When it comes to how you can think something through, this is where, based on the label and then those sticking to it with condemning and saying that's just, again, you're saying this information is not worthy, therefore I am excluding it. And I am labeling it, and this is where it's always going to stay. That's it. End of the line. The person who's not allowing the expansion is you. And that's why people don't recognize that ego, that self, that part of insecurity, inner child wound. It doesn't even have to be a wound per se, but that part that can be instead brought to next level. You will only do that with a heart that isn't judging that person, that thing with the label. Because you're saying, wait a minute, but it does exist. I'm allowing me to be me. I should allow them to be them, even though I know the format isn't in my favor. And this is why, and I do think it should be excluded. You acknowledge that you are nobody to say something needs to be excluded or not. It's your humble opinion. And that is fair and right, but you're allowing humbleness, allowing to completely say this thing exists. It's not about me saying it shouldn't or should. This is limiting my options of what I'm going to move to. And when it comes to people, this is about being able not to be judgmental and allowing them to be them. But more than anything, the way you interact and you feel with those same people will be different. Again, doesn't mean you hang out or surround yourself with a set of criteria that are completely opposite your personality, but it's a very different approach when you get to interact with them. And for the person who does look to make a difference in the world, so maybe like me, you're passionate about helping humanity, this will assist you to get to know. You will be able to listen more to what the person is saying because you're not judging them, and they will know that they will feel they can be themselves, and they will naturally share, because that's that part. We're humans, we like sharing with each other. The only reason we're not is because we don't feel we can. Allowing yourself to be you is the first step. If you want, you recognize when people are in their ego, you remove the judgment, you will still allow yourself to be you. And that's where, once you're beyond that, you're in that advanced place in the inner growth journey. And this is where things get interesting in the space of that nervous system, because you start knowing every time you're getting tense and not flowing. And so you're working on that aspect because you know that you got your traits down and you're okay with it. So for example, as I said with my sister, I didn't point out, I let, okay, this is clear, I get it. For me personally, I'm a chatterbox. I've been told that many times. I've worked through allowing it to be okay from within versus being concerned, even though I still do share, like I talk a lot, just let me know, and you know, we can close off the conversation. It's because of being told that over and over and over again, the same way, like I'm loud. So I'll say I'm loud, I'm noisy, I'm over, you know, I'm extreme in certain ways. I will point out things so that people know this is to respect those differences, because if somebody's pointed out to me, obviously some people will perceive it that way. But what's most important is allowing you to be you from the feeling, so not feeling bad, and recognizing that feeling is very important and part of what you will grow after that intermediate level, because this is where you say, I unconditionally love who I am. I'm okay with me. I know what I'm doing. I respect other people. I respect their lives. I will do my best to respect even an opinion that I disagree with. Choosing humble, that's why neutrality is choosing. I acknowledge everything that's mine, but I acknowledge there's a world outside of me that isn't. And to stay stuck in a place of me wanting to be me, but not allowing that, it's not gonna happen. It needs to be flowing. Flowing means you're not threatened. Not threatened means you're not battling. You're not thinking, I'm gonna tell them what I think. You're enjoying a conversation or a situation. When it comes to life, you're choosing that you know that you won't know, and you're gonna allow that feeling not be a fear but of acceptance. And you just, you know, you have that now. That's the power of now. In your conscious mind, you remind yourself of things, and that's where you can learn patience and calm, even as you're feeling the opposite feeling. You know how many things I would want that happened today that were already happening, and they're not. And that's where you are able to enjoy those feelings, because you're human. You're saying, I have all these feelings, it's normal. My mind navigates to what it would, you know, what it would want to see already, but it's not here. It doesn't mean it won't come. It doesn't mean it will come. And this is where you will work through hope. And there is an experience that goes very uniquely with that, because depending on what you want to achieve or not, depending on that part of how are you with being you from the heart, how much of that sense of wanting the approval or not have you identified, every person can immediately sense where they're at, because you will feel a little bit bad, or you'll feel like, you know, I want to make sure that it's okay. So like the talking thing, I'm 100% good with it, but I still will be in the place of pointing it out sometimes, or being concerned, because again, it's that wanting to ensure everyone, the societal collaboration, wanting to ensure everyone's having a good time. So this is where you're allowing you to be you, but you're also aware of another or others, and you're concerned with that as a societal being. It's simply important. And that practice to say, I'm going to allow both to coexist. They won't ever be a perfect thing, because there are sometimes people who don't like talking. I have one of my friends who had come visit me. I hadn't seen them in, like, I don't know, 10 years. And immediately, different cultures, by the way. So as an Italian, I am loud. I'm loud. I talk. I'm very over emotional in an excited way. I get excited. I get happy. I love life. And so, yeah, every moment is like, unless it's one of those days where I'm a little off, lack of sleep or something. But this friend, like, they immediately, like, Maria, calm down. And they said it, though, with a tone. And at first, I was like, man, seriously? You know, inside me, I'm a little upset. But as I'm upset, I'm like, you know why this is taking place. This is that part of societal engagement, you know, having a friend say, hey, calm down, which is a trait of yours. And then the feeling bad, if you will, because it's like, wow, okay, the part where they said something isn't what is the upset for those who are in a place of that advanced place in inner growth, meaning, you know, you've accepted, you know, there's nothing wrong with being you. You just there's differences. That's it. The feeling is still because we are wanting to please each other. But as you are sure of yourself, those who would be in duality could still take that personally. And this is where they'd have a different reaction. Those who stay in duality don't recognize that their upsetness is because they would want to appease. They're not going to appease. And therefore, that is that opportunity to say, I unconditionally love me and this human being. I understand that I'm allowing me to be me, and I'm allowing them to be them. None neither one is right or wrong. They both exist in this very instance. And it's okay. Not battle of the egos. It's a, I'm an ego, they're an ego. I'm a personality, they're a personality. They're responding emotionally to something that's throwing them off. I don't need to take it personally. Of course, I'm a little upset because I don't want to offend them. I would want to please them. As a human being, we want to please each other, meaning collaborate, enjoy each other's company. It's normal that if somebody points something out that is a trait of yours, that you're going to feel a minute like, oh, really? That's that difference. We're different. But this is also where if we can say, yeah, we are, without the label different. That's why I say we're all human. We are all unique. This idea of difference and then feeling it as different is something that we're not taught to work through, meaning your nervous system, your societal engagement is taking place right there. And that's that thumbs up, thumbs down, the approval as well, the validation. If you work with the feeling, you neutralize it, meaning I love me and I love this human being. They've reacted with what they like, what they're used to, what for them is their norm. As no matter how different any one of us are, those groups, it's their norm. That's how they feel. The same thing when I get excited, how I react, visually speaking. It, my sister, the complete opposite reaction is no reaction, really. Being able to accept that that's their norm from your mind is what allows you to be you and for them to be them. And then, though, knowing as a human being, if somebody is like aggressive, so to speak, like my friend was like, ah, stop it, like the way, the tone. But this is where the culture, where they're from, that tone is normal. In fact, that very tone is why the people from this place are seen as rude and snooty and whatnot. They can't help it. And no matter how many times I've tried sharing this with people about that particular country, doesn't matter. They always think of them as rude. Any interaction, it's because of the tone. Tone is important. Tone is how we perceive. But that's where, if you're allowing yourself to be in the place of that neutrality, that's the advanced inner growth journey. You're impartial. You recognize differences in ways of reacting, and your emotions are not in a place of reacting from the ego self that is insecure, because you know you, and you're allowing you through and through with flow. That's why you know that others do the same, and it won't be a perfect match. You don't react. The little bit of the upset, you know what it is. So like for me, when that was happening, I'm like, you know what this is, Maria. Your friend's having an experience because they need you to calm down, because they obviously are more sensorially. Some people, they have overwhelmed with emotions, right? So if you get very excited, they will feel that. I don't know that as uncomfortable, because I love emotion. I love hugging. I love excitement. I love joy, right? So that's where I don't know how it feels to be in a place of, oh, stop it. But I know it exists, and I don't judge it, and I don't condemn it, because that's where somebody who's in that place is not acknowledging that their ego, their self, is unhappy. It's insecure. It feels threatened. Or anyways, it's like, wow, bummer. You know, I'm not being accepted. I'm not being given the thumbs up. They don't feel loved. And that's where you go and love you. But you also love the other. Because in the absence of recognizing the two, the next time it happens, you're going to still be in that place. Or you may say, I don't want to hang out with anybody like that. So you're judging a group or a person based on something that is who they are, without acknowledging it in your ego, yourself, in neutrality, and say, wait, but that's fair. I mean, it's me, this them, it's different, that's all. But I like the unique spark, because that's where, again, different, even though different, hopefully one day it will be spoken about in a manner that allows individuals to take those differences with neutrality. Either way, if it may not happen, unique is a very good way for us to be able and relate to it, as well as being human. We have a variety of emotions, we have a variety of personalities, we have a variety of way that people perceive through the senses things, and our leaders should be telling us about this, not in a way that makes us group people, but in a way that helps us all to know being human is not only one type of human. We share with you those averages, but that doesn't mean they're better or worse. They don't talk to us about these topics that way. They talk to us about topics with labels. And so those individuals who are in their own ego use the labels and stay in these places, and then they're creating groups and not allowing each other to be themselves, but instead engaging in the same type of feelings and scenarios. At the end of the day, it's amazing to be able to interact with different people, and when you are in that place of allowing you to be you with that respect for the external, whether it be other individuals or the unknown, you are the person who's going to be able to expand the heart of you, the mind of you. You're going to be able to also support somebody along their journey. And the beauty is, you will, in that advanced place in the inner growth journey, be at a state of awe where you're learning thanks to encountering different ways that people have. It doesn't mean you like it or prefer it. So, like, I still love getting all excited. I will definitely pick, and what's the word? I will definitely express completely all of me when I'm in a place where somebody else also expresses the same type of excitement and joy and things of that nature with life. But that doesn't mean it's any less. In fact, the more I work with neutrality when I'm experiencing the opposite, so like my sibling, definitely when I started saying, you know, don't judge it as not excitement, that's the way, so just create neutrality with it, that's all. Not staying in I prefer this, I prefer that, because when you stay in that mindset, you're still limiting the feelings that you feel, because you're always reminding yourself of that difference between you and the other person in a way that has not judgment because you're condemning it, but judgment where it's not your preferred way. That's the part. Transcending it is what allows you to then know and not label it preferred, not preferred. You just know it exists, and that's part of something that exists in a person. It's an interaction. And this is where you will still enjoy to your extent. Like giving a gift, have no necessarily expectations or not. The only part that perhaps changes is sharing the moment, because while there may be somebody who gets excited like I do, so you share the moment with the same excitement, a person who doesn't share excitement in that same way won't have that reaction. So of course it won't be replicated, but you're not taking away from it by not allowing that person to be themselves, and you staying stuck in your own ego and saying, I prefer this and this is the best way, or this is my ideal way, because you're still going to be applying you to another when you do that. So removing it, it's allowing you to experience completely that interaction with that human being or that situation, for you have not labeled it abnormal, different. You know it as it is. That's their essence. That's what they are. That's how they express it. If we can do that with different ways of reacting to things, it would be interesting, because people would definitely enjoy each other's company more, and also not refrain from having moments of exchanges with each other. Of course, it's something that already happens on a small scale. Eventually it'll happen on a bigger scale, and I'm sure we'll be able to achieve even greater knowledge when it comes to these different ways of expressing emotions and of expressing our thoughts and of expressing each other. It just requires more individuals being in their heart and allowing themselves to be themselves, to be you, with your love for yourself, and then with your, at least that neutrality and being able to contemplate when you're having those moments with the external and sharing and or engaging. And those who pursue inner growth get to work with the inner conflict and move to flow and harmony, heart, mind. Those who don't, maybe they stay in that place of duality, but that doesn't mean they're not going to look to be in a place of love and neutrality. Slowly, everyone can achieve, and I'm sure we will achieve a next level. And it does look like it's going to that. We're all human. We're very complex, not because it's hard, but we have many layers to ourselves and then to each individual, and then there's groups, and let's talk about it in a way that we can actually have a dialogue and allow everyone to be themselves and feel included. Looking forward to hearing your thoughts and experiences on the topic, so call on in on Anchor or leave a voice message. And you can also always email me. You find the email in the about section on the blog, luna12780.com, and on the website, inspiringhumanpotential.com. Have a great day. Sending you all lots of love, hugs, and smiles.